Parshas Vayishlach, there is a very strange sounding Tor. The Tor, as we know, written by the Baal HaTurim, the son of the Rosh, the precursor to the Shulchan Aruch. The Tor in Hilchas Rosh Chodesh quotes in the name of his brother that the three Yomim Tovim, Sukkos, Shavuos, and Pesach, correspond to the three Avos, Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. So he says Pesach corresponds to Avram Avinu, because on Pesach we eat matzahs, and Avram Avinu served his guest, the Malachim, the matzahs, which needs explanation, that's not our topic. Shavuos is corresponding to Yitzchak Avinu, that's also not our topic. Our topic tonight, Be'ezus Hashem, is the last part. He says that the Yom Tov of Sukkos corresponds to Yaakov Avinu. Why? Because in Parshas Vayishlach, that's in our Parsha, the Torah writes the following. Now we have to listen very carefully to the Pasuk to appreciate what the Torah is saying. Yaakov Avinu, having left Esav after the great showdown, the final meeting with Esav, it says he came to a place called Sukkos. Vayiven loy bayis, and he built for himself a home. Ulamiknehu, and for his cattle, osa sukkos. So there clearly is a distinction between what he built for himself and what he built for his cattle. For himself, he built a bayis. And for his cattle, he built sukkos. So because Yaakov Avinu constructed Sukkos for his cattle, that's why the Yom Tov of Sukkos corresponds, is Keneged Yaakov Avinu. And this obviously needs some explanation. Sounds like some type of word game. Yaakov Avinu built Sukkos for his cattle, so the Yom Tov of Sukkos corresponds Yaakov Avinu. Surely we would have expected a pasuk or an idea which depicts the essence of the Yom Tov of Sukkos and the essence of Yaakov Avinu, the fact that he happened to build Sukkos for his cattle. Why is that important? Why is that, as it were, a synopsis of Yaakov Avinu's life? Why does that make the whole Yom Tov of Sukkos correspond to Yaakov Avinu? This is the question we would like to address tonight. What does the Torah mean? It's actually the brother of the Torah, that the whole Yom Tov of Sukkos corresponds Yaakov Avinu, because Yaakov Avinu built Sukkos for his cattle. What does that mean? So, in order to try and answer this question, we need to turn forward to Parshas Matos. We recall in Parshas Matos, Klal Yisrael are on the verge of entering Eretz Yisrael, and Moshe Rabbeinu is approached by Shevet Reuven, Shevet Gad, and half of Shevet Menashe, and they request not to take a portion in Eretz Yisrael. Why not? They said, we're too large a shevet to fit into Eretz Yisrael, and we would rather have a nachala in Chutz La'aretz. There is, however, a problem with their request. Why is there a problem with their request? Because the Lashon of the Pasuk in Parshas Matos is that they approach Moshe Rabbeinu when they said, Gidrois Tzoin. Gidrois is a pen or a barn. For our sheep, Nivnel Mikneinu, we shall build for our cattle, V'orim Letapenu, and cities for our children. So what do they mention first? And this is the problem with their request. They first mention the need to house their sheep, and only afterwards they mention, by the by, as an afterthought, we also need cities for our children. If you look carefully, Moshe Rabbeinu, although he acquiesced to their request, but he changed round the order. Because what did Moshe Rabbeinu say? Benu lochem orim letapchem. You can indeed build cities for your children, and also ugedeirois letzoinachem, and stables for your sheep. So they initially mentioned the sheep, and only then the family. Moshe Rabbeinu reverses the order. First, you can build cities for your family, and only then stables for your sheep. And the Medrash points out that Moshe Rabbeinu was criticizing the nusach of the request of the Shvatim. And the Medrash says, we have a famous pasuk in Koheles, Lev Chocham Liyeminoi, Velev Ksil Lismoiloi, translated, the heart of the wise man is on the right, and the heart of the fool is on the left. Now, obviously, that does not refer physiologically where the heart is. The heart is obviously on the left. So, Lev Chocham Biyamin, what does that mean? So, the Medrash says, who is the Chocham? Who is the Chocham that's being referred to? Zeh Moshe. And who is the Ksil, the foolish one? That's Bnei Gad uBnei Ruvain. Why? Why are they considered foolish, says the Medrash? She'osu es ha'ikah tofel ve'es ha'tofel ikah. We are familiar, ikah and tofel, in Hilchos Brachos, for example. What's the main part and what's just helping out? What's serving the ikah? The fact that they preceded and they first mentioned their cattle and only afterwards their families, they're considered a ksil. And that's why their heart is considered to be on the left. The right is always a siman of chashivos. Yemincha Hashem b'koyach. The lave of the chacham b'yeminoi doesn't physiologically mean his heart is on the right. It means his lave. Where does his lave lie? Where does he expend his energy? Where does he place emphasis? On the right, on important things, on the ikka. A ksil, however, he puts dogesh on the left. And that's the Bnei Gad and the Bnei Ruvain, who first mention their cattle and only then their families. Oh, Malohem Moshe, so Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, Asu eso ikka ikka. Make sure that you know what the ikka. Make the ikka into the ikka. The smile, the left, is there to assist the right. The tofel is always there to assist the ikka. That's why in Hilchos Brachos, when you have ikka v'tofel, you don't make a bracha on the tofel, only on the ikka. Not that the tofel is not important, but understand its role. It's subsidiary to the ikka, subservient. It's there to assist the ikka. So too one's cattle, one's gashmias, one's parnasa, is there to assist the ikka, but that's not the ikka. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, you are making the ikka into the tofel, and to the tofel into the ikka. Somebody once told me, he saw a car sticker, and on the back of somebody's car there was a poster, and it says, the main thing is that the main thing is the main thing. A very clever line, meaning some people make unimportant things into the main thing. So the main thing is that make sure that the main thing is indeed the main thing. And that's exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them. Your lave is in the smile. You're emphasizing something which is not important in of its own right. Horaya, you first mentioned the cattle and only then mentioned your family. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, Osu eso ikka tofel. There's a tofel ikka. Look what you've done. You've made what's important, meaning the family, secondary by mentioning them last. Rather, asu eso ikka ikka. Make sure that the main thing is in fact the main thing. Put that on the right, not on the left. I'd like to share with you a magnificent vort that I heard in the name of my wife's grandfather, Rav Jacobovitz Zecher Tzadik Livrocha, where he asked the following question. We know that if a person would enter the Beis HaMikdash, he would see the various kelim in the Beis HaMikdash, and what would he see? He would see the menorah, and he would see the shulchan. Chazal tell us that the menorah was on the southern side, which means as you entered the Beis HaMikdash, it would be on your left. And the shulchan was on the right. So he asked a magnificent question. The menorah represents Torah, ki neir mitzvah v'Torah oir. The shulchan represents gashmias and parnasa, the lechem haponim. So why is the shulchan on the right and the menorah on the left? Surely the order, the seder, should be reversed. You would have expected to enter the Beis HaMikdash and see the menorah on the right. Didn't we just say that leiv chacham b'yamin? Make sure you know what's right and what's left. Make sure that the main thing is the main thing. So why is the menorah on the left and the shulchan on the right? So he gave a phenomenal answer. It's true. If you enter the Beis HaMikdash, you would see the menorah on the left and the shulchan on the right. But imagine the Kohen Gadol, when he left the Kodesh HaKodoshim, what would he see? He would indeed see the menorah on the right and the shulchan on the left. And he explained that's exactly the point. If you're coming into the Beis HaMikdash from the street, yes, that's the problem with the Oilam Mibachutz. The main thing is not the main thing. If you're coming from the Oilam HaGashmi, you will have your shulchan on the right and the menorah on the left. But if you've emerged not from the street, you've emerged from the Kodesh HaKodoshim, the Mokum of the Shechinah, the Mokum of the Aroin, the Mokum of the Luchos, then indeed you have the main thing as the main thing. Then you have the Leiv Chocham B'Yamin. Then indeed you will see the menorah on the right and the Shulchan on the left. The Ikka is indeed the Ikka. And maybe therefore this is really what Chazal mean. We all know the famous Rashi in Parshas Shoftim. On the Pasuk it says one should listen to the Chachamim. V'loy sosur min adovar. Whatever they tell you, asher yegidu l'cha, yemin or smoil, right or left. And the famous Rashi says, even if they tell you that right is left or left is right, you should listen to them. Now what does that mean? I might not be a wise person, but I surely know what my right is and what my left is. So why should I listen to the Chachamim if they tell me that right is left? And the answer is, because if I'm sitting across the table from you and I ask you, show me where is the right-hand side of this room and where is the left, you will point in one direction and I'll point in the other. Who's right? Who's correct? And the answer is, it depends on your vantage point. It depends in which direction you're looking. That's what Chazal mean. Even if the Chachamim tell you your right is left, what they really mean is that sometimes you're making an ikar out of a toffel. Chazal have a different viewpoint. They're not coming from the street. They're coming from the Kodesh Kodshim. They know where the menorah should be placed. They know where the shulchan should be placed. Even if they tell you right is left, understand that they're looking at things from a different perspective, from the perspective that we call Das Torah. Let's come back now to the Yom Tov of Sukkos and the build-up to the Yom Tov of Sukkos. The Yom Tov of Sukkos, of course, follows Yom Kippur, which follows Rosh Hashanah, which follows Elul. What's Elul all about? Elul is Ani Ledoidi V'doidi Li. What am I telling? What am I expressing in that sentence? What am I saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What I'm in fact saying is that the B'meshech HaShonah, during the course of the year, the Yetzer Hara sometimes gets the better of me and confuses me. and I forget what the real Ani is. And I'm Elul, I'm coming back and I'm refocusing. Ani Ledoidi. The real Ani is Ledoidi, is my kesher with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, albeit that sometimes during the course of the year it doesn't always look that way. In other words, I'm not always cognizant of the Yamin and the Smoil. I sometimes forget what's Ledoidi, and that suddenly doesn't become the Ani. In Elul, I'm coming back, I'm refocusing. The real Ani is Ledoidi. And when we come to Rosh Hashanah, doesn't the Rambam say that absolutely clearly? The famous Rambam, we all know the Rambam. The Rambam says that mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar is a mitzvah min HaTorah, but there's a remez. What's the remez? Uru Yeshenim Mishinaschem. And the Rambam famously writes, Eilu HaShoichachim Eso Emes Bahavle Hazman. What's Havle Hazman? Pettiness. Nothingness. The Shoigim Kol Shnosom, people who spend all their time behevel verik, unimportant things. Asher lo yoyil v'lo yatzil, it's not going to help you, it's not going to save you. When I'm coming back on Rosh Hashanah after having declared Ani L'doidi V'doidi Li, says the Rambam, I'm now admitting that sometimes I'm Sheicheach Eso Emes. Why? Bahavle Hazman. I made an unimportant thing into the main thing. Sheichachim Eso Emes. I invested koiches and energy and time and money in things which are lo yoyil v'lo yatzil, things that won't help me, won't assist me in any which way. I forgot b'meshech hashana, what was the yamin and what was the smile. Sheichachim Eso Emes. Comes to Yom Kippur. And all of this, I think, is manifest in the two goats. There's a so'ir la'ashem and there's a so'ir la'azazel. And we know from the Torah HaKadosha that how do you decide which one goes la'ashem and which one goes la'azazel? Of course, there's a lottery. Two pieces of paper in the box. But Chazal tell us, in Yuma Daf Lametes Omad Aleph, that when Shimon HaTzadik was the Kohen Gadol for 40 years, every single year, do you know what the lottery produced? The So'ir la'ashem was the one on the right hand side. And the one on his left was the So'ir la'azazel. That's precisely the point. On Yom Kippur, I'm declaring, I know what my yamin is. My yamin is la'ashem, ani l'doidi. That's the real me. Everything else is smoil. Everything else is tofel. Everything else is la'azazel. That's the whole build-up after Elul. And then Rosh Hashanah, Sheichachim Eso Emes, I'm now coming back to the Emes. I'm no longer going to be busy with Havle Hazman. And that's why in Yom Kippur, things are now finally reorganized. The Lashem is the Yamin. So what happens after Yom HaNeroim? Where we beg the Ribbono Shel Olam on Aseres Yemei Tshuva for life. Kosveinu B'Sefer HaChaim. Zochreinu L'Chaim. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no problem at all. I can give you life. But show me you truly know how to use your life. And you know how to value your life. You know what the main thing is. First mitzvah of the year, leave your home. And build a Diras Arai. Why is that the first mitzvah of the year? And the answer is because you've just declared in Elul that Ani L'doidi. You've just declared in Rosh Hashanah that I'm no longer going to be Sheicheach, the be busy with Havle Azman. I've just declared on Yom Kippur that my real Yamin is Lashem. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, fine, so show me that your Gashmius is not so important after all. Show me that you're prepared to leave your Diras Keva and enter a Diras Arai with three flimsy walls and a roof made out of Pseiles, Goyren, Vayokev. That's the entire Yesoid of Sukkos. The Akedah, one of the Gedolei HaRishonim, says that's precisely the Inyan. Yazvu ho'anoshim kol inyonei hakesef. show me that you're leaving Gashmias. Gashmias is not in fact the main thing. Shehi his oirerus nifla, he writes. This is a remarkable wake-up for us. Shaloi yis asek ha'odom. A person shouldn't be busy with garnishing great wealth and understanding that in fact all of Olam Hazeh is in fact a diras arai. The Alshich in Parshas Emor continues the theme, and he says, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Olam Haba with a Yud and Olam Hazeh with a Hey. Ki b'kor Hashem tzura ilomim. That's why the sukkah is the shape of a hay. Two walls and a tefach. That's what the sukkah represents. It's Olam Hazeh, it's all Arai. Don't be busy, don't make the main thing out of something which is not the main thing. Tzei midiras chokva, and understand this is all Arai. Where should you really be focusing your koiches? In the emes. Not those who are sheikhech emes or emes bahavli azman. Make sure that you know what the right hand side is. It's Lashem. And if that's the case, I think we can understand now what the Torah meant right from the outset. The Torah says that the Yom Tov of Sukkos is keneged Yaakov Avinu. Why? Because Yaakov Avinu built Sukkos for his cattle. Why is that important? Why is that the essence of the Yom Tov of Sukkos? And the answer is, why did he build cattle? Why did he build Sukkos for his cattle? And for himself he built a bayis. Says the Malbim on that posuk. What type of bayis did he build? What does it mean he built for himself a bayis? Some seven-story mansion? Is that what he was busy with? Listen to the words of the Malbim. For himself he built la'atzmoy la'avoid es Hashem. When it says he's built himself a bayis, what does it mean a bayis? A bayis la'avoid es Hashem. Avol lemiknehu? What did he build for his cattle? Rak sukkos arai. Just a flimsy structure. Do you know why? Listen to the words of the Malbim. Ki ha'esek b'mikne. Because involvement in cattle for Yaakov Avinu, hoyo etzloi, tofel v'arai. Aren't those the exact same words as that medrash we began with? Don't make the ikka into the tofel and the tofel into the ikka. His whole attitude to his mikne was that it's tofel and arai. And that's why, says the Malbim, it's kasuka shehi diras arai. Vahadvorim nifloim b'yosa. Now we understand that's what the Torah means. The Yom Tov of Sukkos corresponds Yaakov Avinu, who built Sukkos for his cattle. In other words, the essence of the Yom Tov of Sukkos is to appreciate, make sure that the main thing is in fact the main thing. And who was the one who clearly demonstrated that? That was Yaakov Avinu by showing that his cattle wasn't so important. Therefore, he just built them a diras arai. Yaakov Avinu is the paradigm, is the example to us of the Leiv Chochem B'Yamin. Not like the B'nai God and the B'nai Ruvain, who made the Ikka into a Tofel and the Tofel into the Ikka. Therefore, says the Torah, if you want to appreciate what is the essence of Sukkos, following the Elul, following the Rosh Hashanah, following the Yom Kippur, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, first mitzvah of the year, show me that you understand what the Ikkar is in life and what is the Tofel. And who is the example of that in the Torah HaKadosha? Yaakov Avinu. Vayiven loy bayis, for himself he builds a bayis la'avoid es Hashem. And for his cattle, just a diras arai. Because he understands that the cattle is just a tofel. What is the Megillah that we read on the Yom Tov of Sukkos? It's the Megillah of Koheles. Koheles, the word that repeats itself time and time and time again in Koheles, is in fact its very first posuk, Havel Havolim, Hakoil Hovel. The whole Megillah of Koheles is exactly championing this point. Havel Havolim, make nothing out of nothingness, out of pettiness. And that's the Megillah that you therefore have to read on Sukkos, because that's precisely the whole idea of Sukkos. You're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zachreinu L'chaim? I'll give you life, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no problem. But show me you know how to use your life for important things, not for Hevel. Exactly as the Rambam writes, not those who are Sheicheach Eso Emes, Bahavlei Hazman. And the Levush writes so beautifully, Sukkos is the Zman Simchoseinu. Those who pursue and make their life's focus on Gashmias will never be besimcha. Misha Yeshloi Mone, Roitzem Osayim. However much he has, he's never happy. Sefer Koheles, says the Levush, Meshabeach Umezareis Esabriyos Sheyismachu Bechelkom. Velo Yiridafu Acharibui Hamomen. So I think now the picture is complete. We asked, is this merely a word game? The Yom Tov is called Sukkos, and Yaakov built Sukkos. That captures the whole essence of the Yom Tov and the essence of Yaakov Avinu. It's not a word game. The whole concept, the idea of Sukkos, is to understand, make sure that the main thing is the main thing. Leiv chochem b'yamin. Leave your home and be happy in a diras arai. And that was exactly Yaakov Avinu's legacy. By showing us that his gashmius was less important, therefore he built for the Madiras Arai, that in fact is the entire leiv, the essence, the shoresh of the Yom Tov of Sukkos. It is, I think, well known, the American journalist who was sent to Radin to interview the Chofetz Chaim. He heard about Rabban Shel Yisrael. He thought this would make an important article in his paper. And he was amazed at the simplicity of the Chofetz Chaim's apartment. And he asked him, I don't understand. This is the apartment of a Gadol B'Yisrael. Where's your furniture? So the Chofetz Chaim said to him, I don't understand. You come from America. You value furniture. Where's your furniture? He says, what do you mean, where's my furniture? I don't live here, I'm just here on a short visit, said the journalist. Said the Chofetz Chaim, me too. I'm here on a short visit. And when you're here on a short visit, you don't have time for pettiness. You have to make sure that the main thing is the main thing. The Talmud, the great Talmud of the Chofetz Chaim, the story is told that like Rebbe, like Talmud, he also had a very simple apartment with very minimal furnishings. He was visited on one occasion by a childhood friend of his. This childhood friend had become a very successful businessman and become extremely wealthy. He comes one day to visit Rebbe Elchanan and he's amazed. Once again, such a simple, bare-looking apartment. And he says to Rabbi Chanan, I don't understand. He says, I remember. Didn't we sit on the same bench in Chedan? I remember you were a very smart child. So what became of you? What a shame. I've, Baruch Hashem, put in my efforts, and I've become extremely affluent and wealthy. But what about you? I always thought that something might actually come of you. Why didn't you put in your efforts like me as well? And to his surprise, Rabbi Chanan did not answer the question. When it came time for the guest to leave, Rabbi Chanan accompanies him out and walks him along the street. How are you getting back home? By train. Fine, I'll walk you to the train station. They arrive at the train station, it's time to part company, and he sees that his guest is about to board a train. And Rabbi Chanan says to him, Shame. Shame to get onto that train. Why? Well, I've just had a look through the window and I see the train's very old and dirty. Not very comfortable seating, not very bright lighting. It'll really not be a pleasant journey. But I just had a quick look on the opposite side on a different platform. There's a brand new train, brand new seating, clean, fresh, much more comfortable. If I were you, I would take that train. So the guest looked at him in amazement and says, I don't understand you. I could take that train, but it doesn't help me get to the destination I'm trying to arrive at. Said Rabbi Chanan, that's the question, that's the answer to your question as well. You asked me, why didn't I put in my efforts as well? Yes, I could have, but that doesn't take me to the destination I'm trying to arrive at. Leiv chochem b'yamin. My home is a diras arai. My home is a sukkah. I'm only here on a short visit, just like my Rebbe, the Chofetz Chaim, said. Yes, I could have invested my energy into becoming a very wealthy individual, but that doesn't take me to the destination I'm trying to arrive at. Let me just finish with the most magnificent moshel that I heard many years ago in the name of one of the Rosh HaYeshiva in the Gates of Yeshiva Ketana, Rav Chaim Kaufman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. I believe this was his own moshel, and indeed it's a magnificent moshel. And he said, Moshel l'mo'adov odoyme, the intellectual academic, the university professor, has a simple peasant farmer friend. And one day they decide to go on a boat trip together. An interesting couple, as they merrily sail down the river, the professional, the professor, together with his illiterate, uncultured, uneducated farmer friend. And all of a sudden, the professor says to the farmer, wow, look, what do you see? And he looks up from his boat and he says, yes, I see a house. Says the professor, a house? That's what you call it? You call it a house? Well, that's what it looks to me. It looks like a house. Doors, window. He says, don't you understand? Look carefully at the most magnificent architecture. It's not just a house. This is the most exquisite mansion. He looks up and says, well, I don't know. It looks like a house to me. Says the professor, don't you have any appreciation for architecture? No, not really. Says the professor, well, if that's the case, I'm afraid to say that's 10% of your life gone. He's rather surprised, 10% gone? No, at least there's 90% left. They continue down the river, and all of a sudden the professor says, stop, what do you hear in the background? And the farmer says, I don't know, I hear some noise. Noise? That's a 36-piece symphonic orchestra playing the most gorgeous classical music. Don't you have an appreciation of classical music? And he says, no, not really. To me, it sounds like a noise in the background. Says the professor, if you have no appreciation for classical music, then I'm afraid to say that's another 10% of your life gone. And this continues time and time again. Look, what do you see? Looks to me like a tree. A tree? It's the most rare form of plant. Don't you appreciate botany? No, not really. Well, that's another 10% of your life gone. And this goes so on and so forth. All of a sudden, there's a very big current in the river and the whole boat overturns. And the professor and the farmer both find themselves in deep water. The farmer's not in trouble. He's strong and sturdy and he swims to safety. And he scrambles to the shore and he looks into the water and he sees the professor waving his hands, stranded, struggling, yelling, help, save me, save me. So the farmer says, shouts out to him, just swim to the side, you'll be okay. And the professor says, but I can't swim. And the farmer looks him in the eye and says, well, if you can't swim, that's 100% of your life gone. And that was the moshel of the Rosh Hashiva. Yes, you can have appreciation for architecture and for classical music and for botany, but if you don't know how to look after your own life, you haven't made the main thing into the main thing. Then that's 100% of your life gone. And if you know what the ikkar is, then indeed you can have a toffle and you can have architecture, classical music and botany. Yaakov Avinu understood not what the 10% of life is. What is the 100% of life? It's a bayis la'avodas Hashem. Shifti beveis Hashem. L'mikneu osa sukkah is for his gashmias. He just made a temporary structure. That wasn't important to him. That's the essence of the Yom Tov of Sukkos. Following Elul, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, where I come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and I say, no longer am I going to be sheicheach es or emes bahavle azman. To the contrary, ani l'doidi. I know what my yamin is. The yamin is the soil Hashem. And that's why I'm prepared to leave my home and enter the diras arai. The Yom Tov of Sukkos is indeed corresponding Yaakov Avinu. I wish everybody a very good Shabbos.